interesting over here. He says seven things.
Put your hands up.
He brings down, I think it's seven. Is it seven things or so that a person has to think about to help strengthen his bitachon? Thought number one, we spoke about yesterday, that Hashem has more rachmanos on a person more than anyone else. Machshava shniya, the second thought. Asher kol ha-tayvus ha-magiyus alav, all tayvus that come to him, me'aviv, me'ima, from his father and mother. I don't know what good things parents do for their children, but if a person has, you know, a person's lucky and has good parents, then the good things that come from his father and their mother, Me'achav, his brothers, Ukraivav, and his friends, Reyav, and his loved ones. Anything that happens to a person, any chesed that happens to a person is from Hashem. They are just shluchim of Hashem. You think when someone gives you something, you know, you feel tremendous gratitude. A person feels tremendous gratitude to his friends. A person feels, hopefully, tremendous gratitude to his parents, which I'd like to talk about today. But a person, of all those things, all the people that a person feels gratitude to, he has to also feel gratitude to Hashem. You know, a person if a person invites you to his house for a barbecue and he gives you a geschmack of steak, so you're like very grateful, thank you so much, wow, it's great, thank you so much for having me, it's delicious, and you feel very grateful. And then it comes to benching, what do we all do? Comes to benching, it's I told you what happened to me once, that I finished eating a supper, and it tasted very good. It was very good geschmack supper. For some reason, I felt a certain, you know, recognition, you know, akar satov to Hashem. So I said, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for that supper. And then afterwards, I started benching. And then I realized, oh my gosh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing every time I bench. Every time you bench, you're saying thank you, Hashem. But we don't think of it that way. We think every time we bench, we're just pottering up. We're yotzei our chiyuv to say a few certain words after we wash. And we don't really feel we're saying thank you. That's why I was able to say thank you, and nothing to do with benching. That's the feeling we're supposed to automatically have every time we bench. We're supposed to maybe to think, I'm saying, I should do it myself. To think before benching, when I bench, I'm thanking Hashem for the food He gave me. And then I wouldn't just mutter down the words. And also, perhaps, even if it was more geschmack a meal, it'd be easier to have even more kavana, because I'm even more appreciative. You know, the Gemara says so that's because we have to realize that when we get that geschmack a meal, it's not our wife, it's not our mommy, it's not our friend. It's also, not also, but it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in the Darim, Pikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gemara Nedarim, Lam Beis and Beis. Pikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahotzi Kuna Mishem. Hashem wanted to take the Kuna out of shame. Shinem has it says, who called the Kel Elyon? But Kivan Shehikdim Birkas Avram, the Birkas HaMakom, because shame. When Avram came back from the war, he blessed Avram before he blessed Hashem. Shinem has it says, Vayivarcheyu Vayayimah, he blessed him and he said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, blesses Avram Lekel Elyon, Kone Shemayim Varam. Blesses Avram, Ubarak El Elyon, and blesses Hashem. So, and Avram said to him, do you bless a servant before you bless a master? And the kuna was given over to Avram. I don't know, so I once hit me a pshat. Happened was in Eretz Yisrael. I lost my kavet. I probably said this over before. I lost my kavet or something. I lost a sefer, and losing a sefer in the mirror, you know, in most places, you know, the people that write usher, you know, usher to use or something. People that write that, you know, it's not nice. It shows a little bit of, usually, not always, but it shows a little bit of, you know, I don't know, stinginess or just being very, you know, a lot of people use it, mutter, you know, a person wants to write mutter, I'm not sahaksir, or a person's more nervous that he'll lose it, so he says mutter to use within the alamis, a person says mutter to use from kaimai, you know, it's not so understandable to write usher to use it, that was just in water bag, right? Mutter to use in its place, mustama. Unless the guy has bad experiences. But in the mirror, it's understandable why a person would write "officer to use," because even if you write "it's about to be used in its place," you're still taking a risk that someone will take it. If it's taken away, you lose it. You gotta be crazy in the mirror to write "mutam rasa haksum kama." You gotta be a sugar. If you write in the mirror, I've seen it, and I'm just weird, crazy. To write in the mirror "mutam rasa haksum kama" is like writing "mutam ligza," because people are gonna take it away, and they'll forget. There are people that will take it away and will forget, and you'll never see it again. So, sure enough, my sefer was missing. I don't know if it was taken or I lent it, someone didn't get back, but it was missing. And all of a sudden, somehow I found it. So I said, someone in my shir or something found it. And I said, thank you so much. Thank you for finding my sefer. And then I said, thank you, Hashem. And then I realized something. What was my initial reaction? The initial reaction is, thank you so much, Yanko, for finding my sefer. Oh, and also, thank you, Hashem. Grada, you know, Hashem, you had something to do with this also. So thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for arranging this. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for arranging. You know, there's a guy that does it. And yet, there's a guy, you know, that also, like, arranges it. He helps coordinate it, you know. But that's not our look. Our looks ultimately should be, when we see something good happen to us, it should be Hashem. Oh wow, Hashem's so good to us. Hashem gave me such a great steak. Oh, and thank you so-and-so for making the steak for me. Hashem should be in the front. It could be that was a chait of shame, that he blessed Avram before he blessed Hashem. It wasn't just a lack of respect, that he just, you know, stopped, blessed Avram before he blessed Hashem. Before Hashem. It could be it was a reaction. It could be it was an instinct. He blessed Avram. Oh, blessed Avram, who came back from who defeated the Malachim. Oh, and Baruch Hashem. But our reaction, I don't know if this is Pshat Gemara perhaps, but our reaction, the Vart is true, our reaction has to be Hashem first. And Halavai, we start working on Hashem being there at all, as opposed to just thank you, and Hashem's out of the picture. Person has to see everything comes from Hashem. Person makes money. Person gets money. My father told me of a story once that there was a person that he had struggling, whatever, I don't know, struggling, or he was trying to get a job, and he got a job. And as soon as the person told him that he had the job, he said, "Can you just give me 1 minute?" And the person, I'm not sure what he did. I think he opened up a sefer Tehillim. It said like a kavodal Tehillim or something with tremendous kavana, and then he said, and he went right away when the person gave him the job. It was the expression of Hakaras Hatov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, not the first initial reaction is always, oh, thank you so much for giving me the job. Oh, you're the best. Oh, thank you. I'm gonna work so hard for you. Hashem is giving you the job. Hashem arranges. Hashem is in charge. Now, it's not 100% our discussion over here, but I really wanted to speak into it for a while. I've spoken about it before, but someone I was speaking to, you know, inspired this talk. I like to speak about, tonight I speak about especially before in Azmanim, this area of the area of appreciating what people do for us. Here we're discussing realizing that everything that people do for us is from Hashem. But now let's work on easier thing, L'chaira, that work on whatever people do for us, people are doing for us. And we owe them appreciation for it. Doesn't hurt to repeat. Let's start with parents. Many people have a terrible attitude when it comes to their parents. You know, many people walk around with complaints against their parents. I'm going to tell you some tremendous, you know, I told this person some secrets. I'll tell you some tremendous secrets. If you want to call this secrets into getting things from your parents, you can call it that. But if you want to be good children, if you want to be a kind of mitzvah of aim, if you want to be a decent human being, you want to be a mensch, then you have to live with these ideas. A person looks at his parents, or many people that walk around with needless aggravation about with problems with their parents. Their parents don't. I'm starting from basic problems. The parents don't give them spending money. You know, my parents, they don't give me spending money. Nothing. They tell me, get a job. You want to spend money on your cell phone? You want to get a job. You know, they're extremes. The parents that give the kids spending money, my parents don't buy me a car. My parents refuse to pay for this. My parents refuse to pay me for my trip to LA to go to someone's wedding. My parents, and they can afford it. It's not like they can't afford it. My parents, they go on vacation all the time. They don't want to pay for my thing. My parents don't want to buy me a new suit. My parents told me to get a job. My parents. It's 100% wrong. It's hashkasa. It's disgusting. It's corruption. A person has to realize, and if you don't realize this now, by the way, also, if you want to have good children, you better realize this. Because if this is your attitude, then your children somehow will sense, and this is the way they'll treat you. They'll treat you Or they'll treat you the way you treat your parents. Hopefully you treat your parents very well, and they'll treat you very well. But a person's attitude has to be that a father and mother my father and mother owe me nothing. I have tremendous gratitude for them for bringing me into this world. I have tremendous gratitude for taking care of me. And I'm sure all of our parents took taking care of all of you since you're younger. Woke up for you in the middle of the night. Or maybe that's a, you know, woke up in the middle of the night. Parents gave you clothing. Parents paid your tuition. Parents still paying tuition. It's amazing. I don't know very many bachurim. I'm not saying I did it. I probably didn't do it. But I know very few people that have ever said to their parents, you know, thank you for, I really appreciate you paying my tuition. I really appreciate you paying my tuition. You really sacrificing to send me to Shiva. I rarely know many children that have ever said it to their parents. Is that a chiddush? I should have. I didn't think of it. You know, we should feel thankful. We should feel grateful for every single thing our parents do for us because they owe us nothing. Just because you want to know as parents, if I was speaking to parents in this room, I would suggest to them to give their to be generous with their children and to be loving with their children and to give their kids confidence. But right now we're not discussing the chayvas ha'avais, we're discussing the chayvas ha'banim. Just because your parents mitzah themselves maybe shouldn't say, go get a job, I'm not giving you any money. Maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. That's not disgusting. That's not a stira. It's not a stira. Your friend is supposed to give you, your friend is also supposed to treat you nicely. Your friend is also supposed to give you things. Yet you say thank you to your friend when he gives you things. You say thank you to him. You feel grateful to your friend when he's nice to you. Your parents are our parents. give us so much, and they don't owe us anything. When a child walks around thinking that his parents owe him things, so he gets upset at his parents when they don't give him this, he gives upset at the parents when he gives them that, you should know that as a parent, they should have every right not to give you anything, just because you have the chutzpah to be ungrateful. They should say, if a child calls his parents, Dad, I need $100. Father says, what do you mean? I've given you some. No, Dad, it's not fair. I need the money. You give the other this. You give this brother. You him give money for this. What kind of chutzpah? What are you demanding $100 from me? I owe you $100? You're demanding me $100. What? I owe you something? I'm your employee. I owe you something? What do I owe you? A child who comes to his parents asking them for money, for spending money. I'm not saying you can't ask your parents for spending money, but it should be with the approach that, Dad, I'm sorry to bother you. You don't have to make a whole spiel, but it's the attitude that, are you able? Can you? I need some money. Is it possible? I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Your father gives you money. Thank you very much. How could anyone of the chutzpah ever demand? Or ever, if you have those feelings inside your parents, know them. By the way, as a parent, trust me, I think parents are happier to give children that appreciate what they're given than to give children that don't appreciate what they're given. Many times, by the way, they're parents that silently fight their children over little things. I'll give you a different example. There's another whole schmooze. I spoke to another guy. But many times the parents that might even sometimes say, no, I'm not giving it to you, just because silently they want their child to feel, to appreciate, for example, when you're always giving, for example, if you always give your friend a friend something, and you feel he doesn't appreciate what you're giving him, so what do? So you stop giving him. Because you want him to realize, hey, I'm giving it to you. It doesn't come from the sky. And if I stop, it's not there. So now come back to me and say, can you please give it to me? Realize, when you stop giving something, that person has to realize that he's taking from someone. That's what we do. And probably their parents that silently fight their children over little money areas, maybe even, because their kids don't appreciate it. Also, people don't even know their parents' financial situations, and if your parents go on vacation, so that's their money, they work for it. They should send you on vacation. You need a vacation. You need a good trip to LA. You work so hard. A guy comes to his parents, so funny. Guy comes to his parents, I work so hard during this man. I learned so well. How could you not pay for a trip for me to go on vacation? I'm shugging up. Well, your parents paid. What do you mean? Your parents owe you for your learning that you did for them? Your parents are so nice to you. They're supporting you. You're getting olam haba for your tire. They'll get a schus for supporting you. But they're supporting you as if a stranger would be supporting someone in Kyle. They're supporting you. They're allowing you to learn. They don't have to. They could send you to go to school, take out college loans. There's such a concept by some people. Parents that have that. There are parents that have this attitude. Not so much maybe most parents, but 18 years old, and not the other parents or wealthy parents that have this attitude. 18 years old, you're on your own. It's not Mishugas. Do I think it's right? As a parent, no. But as a child, first child should think, that's what a parent should say, you're old enough, take care of yourself. A person comes to his parent, I need money, I'm in yeshiva, I need money for spending, I need money for vacation. I'm Mishugas. Go to your parents, say, it's so nice of you to pay my tuition. If you don't feel comfortable saying that, you don't have to say these words. I'm just telling you what the concept the person should be thinking. First, we think, wow, my parents pay my tuition. My parents allow me to learn in yeshiva. My parents give me money. My parents support me. I don't even work. I don't do anything. My parents support me. They're so good to me. Then when you come to your parents and ask them for money and ask them for vacation, I think you ask it a little bit differently. And a person doesn't walk around with complaints against his parents because the person's just grateful. This is the key to simcha. This is the key to shara simcha. We're talking right here. It's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chinuch says the purpose of a karsa of kibbutz avein is to have a karsa tov. And he says if you don't have a karsa tov to your parents, you won't have a karsa tov to Hashem, and vice versa. If you have a karsa tov to your parents, you have a karsa tov to Hashem. A person that has attitude to his parents will have the same attitude towards Hashem to a certain extent. Hashem, why are you giving me my money that I should have extra money to go on vacation? Hashem, how come you're not giving me this? Hashem, how come you're giving me that? It's an attitude. It's a person who realizes I don't deserve anything. Whatever I get, I'm grateful for. And that's the correct attitude. That's the truth. And that person is Hashem. That's the attitude the person has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's so good to me. The midah of simcha, we've spoken about before, the midah of simcha is dependent on this attitude. Eiza Asher Sameach Bechelka depends on your attitude. Whatever you feel you deserve, you don't appreciate. You don't deserve. Hashem is good to us. Hashem is good to us. Our parents are good to us. If a person has parents and maybe mistreat him, they didn't learn Musar. They didn't learn Musar. They weren't zeichet to learn Musar. They don't treat him properly. They're hard on him and they're harsh on him. Then he has to deal with it. And the parents are wrong if they don't know how to treat their children. But you still have to be grateful. They created you. They brought you into this world. They care about you. They give you money. They give you food. They make mistakes. They unfortunately might not know enough. Unfortunately, they didn't learn. They weren't zeichet to be taught how to raise their children properly. Baruch Hashem, everyone here are very fine children. So whatever mistakes your parents made, Baruch Hashem, they still did all right, and you still did all right. Person has a tremendous hakaras tov. Person has a tremendous hakaras tov. Also, person's harder than my parents who don't do this. Think about what your parents do. Whatever your parents don't do is nothing to complain about. They don't owe you. Whatever your parents do, you're grateful. You're grateful. Person would never walk around with complaints against his parents if he had this attitude. People walk around with complaints, it's just because they're demanding. It's because they think that their parents owe them everything. And by the way, if you have that attitude, your kids are going to also come to you. You want your kids coming to you? You'll realize that many years later, when your kids come to you, give me, where's my $100? Where's my this? Where's my that? I don't know. My kid's three. If he comes to me and says to me, give me this, even though he's three, I tell him. I don't ever want him coming to me thinking that I owe him anything. Shmihira, what do you mean? You want something? You ask me for it. You know, I don't, there's nothing to owe to anyone. My friend got a cell phone, I have to get one too. So what? So your friend got a cell phone, so I'm owed. You owe me a cell phone because my friend got a toy. You owe me, your parents, your kids are going to their parents. And the parents are dumb enough to say, okay, I'll buy it for you. You want to buy for your kid one thing, but first tell him, he has it, we don't owe you anything. We're your parents, we love you, we don't owe you anything. There's nothing wrong with the parent telling the child. That parent doesn't have to feel mean. They're right. We don't owe you, we love you, we want to give it to you. But never come to me, a child should never come to parents saying, demanding anything. I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's a chas in the suit. I need a chas in the suit. I need this, I need that. Ask, please, appreciate. Also, another thing that I, another thing with parents, I had an interesting discussion with someone, and I never thought about this before, and I feel it's interesting to share with you. It might be relevant to some of you. There's some parents, there's some children, that because they don't agree necessarily with all their parents' ideas, but they don't show their parents respect. Kibbutz avein, of course, we know, stand up for your parents, which many people are lax on. Stand up for your parents, dress your parents. But let me talk about a basic kibbutz avein. The basic kibbutz avein is respect your parents. There are many children that don't feel their parents are correct, their parents know well enough, and therefore they don't ask them their advice. Not only do they not ask them their advice, when their parents offer their advice, as many parents do, they're mavatal. They're like, yeah, no, whatever. I spoke to my rabbi about it. He doesn't think. Child has to be very careful to show his parents respect. And there are very simple simple ways to show your parents respect without having to follow every single thing they say. A child goes to a parent. It's a very nice idea. There are many parents, I think, that are very tough on their children. I know a parent that was telling me the parents are very tough on him and always telling what to do and always do this. Many times it's because a parent is looking for respect, is looking for appreciation, is looking to be listened to, and they're just desperate and they're just trying in ridiculous ways. If a child, the child should come to his parents. Good ideas. The child has this problem with his parents, or to a certain extent, you have to show respect. It's not a bad idea to ask your parents sometimes. I'm not sure what to do. Some parents, by the way, would be floored. You'd make their day, you'd make their month. The child will call his parents and say, you know, my friend is bothering me, and he's always taking things from me. How do you think I should handle it? Should I stop giving him things? Should I say something to him? Ask your parents, you know, certain things you might not want to ask them, because if you know that they're going to tell you one thing and then they're going to force you to listen to them. But ask your parents things which are not even like make it or break it. You know what I mean? Ask your parents, what do you think about camp, what should I do? Or something that's not so... Ask your parents advice about something. You should know your parents, many parents here that have never had their children, or rarely have had their children ask them advice, would be flying for a few days, wow, my child respects what I think. And it's not even something, it's if you're smart, so I've been teaching you, you know, maybe your parents you'll see that your parents are smarter than you think. But even if your parents, you know what, I have to ask my parents, or I'll ask my rabbi. But your parents deserve that respect. You should know, I think many, many parent relationships would be so improved. You know, if a child asks his parent, what do you think I should do about this? The parent would be so happy. The parent would stop being on top of your back if they just got a little respect. Many parents are fighting for their children's respect. They just want to be asked. They just want to be asked what to do. And since they're never asked, they just have to tell you, do this, do that, do that, do that, because they want to somehow feel like they're like important. Parents also want to feel important. If a child would just ask them advice once in a while, and a child would just listen to what they say, it doesn't mean you have to follow everything. Certain things are not, it's not so, you know, a person asks a parent advice, he says, thank you very much. Don't argue. There's some children that whatever the parents say, they argue. You ask the parent says, X, no. You know, a parent says to the child, don't argue with your parents for no reason. A person, imagine, a guy, Bacher, asks a parent, he follows my suggestion, let's say, give you an example, and he says, mommy, you know, I have this Bacher that's, it's very annoying, it's very difficult to deal with. How do you think I should deal with this problem? I have a boy that has a problem. How do you think I should help him? And the mother says, well, I think you should do this and this. The guy's like, no, that's not going to work. I don't think that's a good idea. Stupid. No. A person should never knock what his parents tell him. A person should always listen. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Doesn't mean you have to follow through with everything, because maybe it's not a good idea. But your parents don't know that. You don't have to, you know, there's no reason to argue for no argument. You know, someone was telling me recently, I forgot who it was, yeah. Someone was telling me that his parents said that he should wait like 2 weeks before he goes out again, because they didn't want him to drive back and forth from Waterbury. So I said to him, so he said, yeah, his parents don't understand, you know, that you can't go out to wait 2-3 weeks before you go out again. So I said to him, tell your parents that the Shachin said you can't do such a thing. The Shachin wouldn't hear of such a thing. Why do you have to be the one? You don't have to be the one to argue with your parents and say, no, that's ridiculous, you can't wait 2 weeks, that's not how it's done, Dad, that's not how it's done anymore. Why do you have to be the one? Why do you have to confront? Why do you have to put down your parents? Why don't you just say, no, maybe it's not a bad idea to wait 3 weeks, but the Shachin said you can't, the Shachin wouldn't hear such a thing. There's no reason to argue if there's no point arguing. People argue with a stupid thing, clothing, this. Why argue when there's no reason to argue? Last resort is to argue with your parents. Last resort is to tell your parents, oh, that's not a good idea. And by the way, if a person listens to his parents more often, and just listen to his parents more often, then his parents will listen to him a lot more often also. His parents would respect him, what he has to say. A parent doesn't necessarily respect Yaakov is trying to say, if every single time the parent says to the child, dafka is arguing. So that means that child doesn't know anything except argue. That child has no opinion, he just argues. The child will listen to his parents and respect what his parents had to say, and then once in a while say, you know, I can't, I really feel like for me, oh, yes, you're right. They will listen to you. But first you have to listen to them. They're first. They're the parents. You're the kids. You're the children. First the parent has, the child has to listen to his parents. Many parents are very tough on the children, I think, because they don't get enough respect. And they feel threatened. They feel threatened by their children. Many. That's a real kibbutz of aim. What do you think about this? It could be the stupidest thing. Imagine the stupidest thing. You know, the stupidest thing. The guy in my dorm keeps me up. You think I should go to the Roshiva? Maybe I should tell him. What do you think? The parent would be so happy. Wow. He cares. He thinks, wow, he respects me. He thinks, respect is the biggest respect is showing that you respect what the person has to say. Not just, you know, please and thank you or whatever, or even standing up. Standing up for a parent, but then just ignoring everything they have to say and not showing them any respect. Even a parent that doesn't have your view, you can have a modern parent. A person that's a modern parent that doesn't want them to stay in yeshiva. But if you listen to other things they have to say, you could ask them advice about other things besides, should I leave yeshiva and go to college? But other things they have what to say. They're smart in other areas where you have what to say. Ask them over there. Chances are they're going to be more willing to respect the child's own opinions when the child wants to sit and learn. They're so dumb. They're fighting their parents about sitting and learning, which is a tremendous fight. The parents really are very, have strong feelings. They're not crazy. They have strong feelings that the child has to go to college. That's the way they're brought up. That's their mentality. And the child's fighting their parents over this thing and over this stupid thing and over this thing and over that thing about all the stupid things. Don't fight over stupid things. Then you're wrong. Only should ever argue if you have to. And even when you argue, there are ways of doing it. My Rebbe said this, you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, there's respect. Hashim, am I right? Is there such a thing in, have such a, what? What am I not saying? Alright, Shkaya. Hashlishes, Tatacha number 3. We said yesterday the second thought was that a person has to realize that all good things that come to him from his family, from his friends, all this is from Hashem. Hakol meis Hashem Yisbarachu. Everything's from Hashem. Ve'eleim shluchei ha'makom baruch hu. And these people are just shluchim of Hashem. Anyone that does you good is a shluch of Hashem. Hashlish is third machshava. Sheyeda, you should know. Shekol ha'tayvos, all good. Hey mechasti elokim. They're from the kindness of Hashem. Lo shuray lekach, not because the person deserves it. Vein Hakadosh Baruch Hu meitiv lo mipnei shehu tzarech lo. Hashem doesn't give you good because He needs you. Hashem doesn't need any one of us. Ach nedava v'chesed. It's a nedava, it's a donation, v'chesed, and it's kindness. Anything that Hashem does for us is chesed. And we, like we spoke at yesterday, this is how a person is. This is the key to Simcha. This is what the mission says, Eza Asher Sameach Pachalko. That a person realizes whatever Hashem gives him is chesed. Doesn't deserve it. It's all chesed. It's very hard for us. Why is it so hard for us to live this way? That a person should feel that everything he has is chesed of Hashem. The reason is that human nature, we have a human nature is to take things for granted. Human nature is to take things for granted. And once we have it for a certain amount of time, we take it for granted. That's our test. Our test in life is not to take things for granted. Naturally, we take things for granted. You know, a person gets a new car, a person gets a new toy, and he might even be on the level that he has tremendous hakar satov to Hashem. Wow, Baruch Hashem, I got a new car. Baruch Hashem, I got this. Baruch Hashem, I got that. And then afterwards, he doesn't have any. Then afterwards, as the days go by, he doesn't have much simcha. He doesn't have much appreciation for it. Even a person that would win the lottery, I would bet that a person that wins the lottery, yes, they'll report them on the radio, and the person says, "Oh, thank the good, I'm so grateful to God for making me win the lottery. You know, I prayed every day to win the lottery, and you know, I believe. I want to tell all those listeners that they have to believe in prayer. So person, I want to know, what do you think? You think after how long? Do you think that a year later or 2 years later, you know, he has that same sentiments? Wow. Baruch Hashem, yeah, I won. Baruch Hashem, I won the lottery. Baruch Hashem, Hashem was so good to me. I don't believe that sentiment is gonna last too long by a regular person. What, no matter how big the thing is, no matter. Why do I say that? Because there's a rule in Musar. I think there's a rule in Musar. There's a rule, I believe, that anything that happens in a small dose, anything that happens in a small measurement, try to explain this, it's a good aside. Anything that happens in a small measurement happens in big measurements. The only difference between them is usually time. Any mida you see from a person, you know, a person says, I don't have an example for you, but when you see a person, whatever it is, when there's a mida there, you know, if a person takes small things for granted, then it means he'll also take big things for granted. It just might take a little more time before he takes them for granted. It's the same mida, no matter where it is, it's gonna be there. Life's situations don't change the person's nature. So, first of all, take it for granted after a while. Look, I'll give you a riot. You know, it's very. You know, a person has a child. Yeah. Person has tremendous simcha. Very few people. There are those. Very few people. Every day, even once a day. Especially not 24 hours a day, feel so grateful, just feel so overwhelmed with Hakar Satov, feel so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch. And that's a lot better than winning the lottery, right? I have a raya. I have an amazing thought. I don't know, it's interesting to me. People complain, let's say they don't have money. So someone comes to me, complains to you, he doesn't have money. So I have a very good idea. My moms don't understand. I have a very good idea. A guy is married with kids, and he complains, he really struggles with barnas. I have such an amazing idea. I don't know if anyone ever thought of this. Sell one of your kids. You have 8 kids. Sell one of them. You should know adoption, people pay a lot of money for a good healthy kid that comes from a good family. Sell your kid. People will pay 50 more. 100. You can get a lot of money. Good amount of money to sell a kid. Sell 2-3 kids, you're ready, you'll be set. Sell your kid. A person would come over to you. I'll pay $500,000 for your kid. Pay $500,000 for your kid. Yeah. Once he's in first year base Spanish, you could sell. I'll pay you $1,000,000. He's 2 years old. He's a baby. I'll pay you $1,000,000. Sell me your kid. I'll take care of all your financial problems. I don't know one decent person in the world that would sell their kid. And not just because they feel guilty. It's because a person values his child more than all the money in the world. He understands that his child is more precious than all the money in the world. So it's a good thought. All those people, anyone that thinks himself, people complain they don't have money. Sell your kids. What do you mean you don't have money? Why are you complaining you don't have money? Why are you overcome with joy they have kids that are worth more than all the money? Aren't there people out there that, Rahman al-Tan, don't have kids? Or if you're happy with your kids and hopefully your kids are good kids, you wouldn't trade your good child for your neighbor's child that unfortunately is not doing the right things with himself. You wouldn't trade situations with him for all the money in the world. So why do we complain about money? Yet, person wouldn't sell his kid, and yet people take that for granted. So you think the lottery is worth. So lotteries say, well, lottery is only one in a few million win the lottery. It doesn't make a difference. You take things for granted. That's the way it is. It's an avaida. One of the most important things for a person to work on is not taking things for granted. Everything's dependent on not taking things for granted. Person appreciate what he has. If he's happy in his yeshiva, he should not take that for granted. If his parents, he shouldn't take for granted. If Mir Tashem, he has kids, he shouldn't take that for granted. He should be very happy. He should give him tremendous simcha. A child should be able to give a parent enough simcha that he shouldn't really need anything else. Vacations to Florida and all the other places in the world don't give people simcha. If a person would know how to appreciate things, he would be happy. If you don't know how to appreciate things, no matter what you get, no matter how many trips you go on, no matter how many exciting things you see, you won't be happy. Right? Person says, oh, if I had a little bit extra spending money. Maybe you ever say this? This is I've done this before. Person, people say, if I'd have this, I'd be happy. If I'd have that, I'm Baruch Hashem, things are not bad. But just had a little extra money that, I'm not looking for millions. But just had enough money that I wouldn't be always checking my bills and making sure my checks don't bounce. Just had a little extra money, just enough money that I can feel comfortable going on vacation once. So I don't have to go on vacation too often, just once or twice a year. If I just had a little extra money, I'd be happy. It's baloney. It's not true. It's just a trick of the imagination. You'll get it, it'll happen, and you won't be happy. You'll be happy for one day, maybe not even, probably 1 minute. Oh, I'm so happy. Wow, I have the money I need. I have my raise. Now I'm happy, I have my raise. And 1 minute later, you won't be happy. It's nature. It's not dependent on the world. It's dependent on you. It's dependent on you. It's dependent on your attitudes. It's dependent on your emotions. It depends on how well you have worked on yourself. Not dependent on anything else besides you. I once heard a mashal. I probably told this. A friend of mine gave a mashal to a car on a bumpy road. If you have a lousy car, if you have a 84 station wagon, no matter how smooth the road is, you're going to bump. And it's going to shake and it's going to make noise. I don't know if they make such a thing, but if they have a really special car that's meant to feel smooth on all roads, no matter what road you put it on, it's going to feel quite comfortable. And that's basically life. Basically, life is more dependent. It's obviously, now obviously, if you take an old station wagon on a bumpy road, it'll be a lot worse. But the main factor in a person's life is attitude and how he deals with life. Life itself does have what happens in life obviously has influence. A person that's always complaining, right? If a person that's always looking negative, then if his life isn't okay, he'll still be negative, but if his life is really bad, it'll even be worse. A person that's a happy person, it'll be a little bit happier, a little bit easier for him to be happy. If a happy person has a very difficult life, it could be a little chip away at him. It could be he won't be able to deal with it. But basically, it's mostly dependent on a person's nature, a person's attitude, not nature. How a person develops his nature, how a person changes himself. Haravias, number 4. Sheyeda, that he should know, Asher l'chol inyanav yeshkuv v'keitz. For all his inyanim, there's a border and an end. In other words, anything a person has, it's
limited.
It's determined. It's not in your control. Not your control. No other person can add or take away. No one can take away. No other person in the world can take away or add upon what you're supposed to have. Person's nervous. You know, he just opened up a furniture business, and you know, and he's the only furniture store in town. And some chutzpah, some guy opens up another store. That guy is not taking away your panas. The guy's not taking away your panas. If Hashem doesn't want you to have panasa, you lose your panasa, whether the guy opens that store or not that store. That might be the means sometimes of how you lose panasa. But whatever panasa you're supposed to have, you'll have. You know, a person, someone, my wife just told me that she spoke to someone that was looking at a house and put a bid on a house and very seriously wanted the house. And sure enough, the next day, or a few hours later, they hear that someone else, another firm person, they probably weren't aware or whatever, but another firm person or whatever it was, gave a higher bid. So, people, we say, right, it's not pashat. Do we mean it? No. We say, it's not pashat. That's a very good expression. It's not pashat. Guys, some people mean it, some people don't. Some people say, yeah, it's not pashat, but really inside they're killing themselves. They're angry. What does it mean? It's not pashat. They're angry at the other guy for doing it. Wait a minute, I'm steaming mad at the guy. And the guy took away my house. But I'm a pekin, it's not pashat. How much a person believes in Hashem, how much a person believes in this paragraph over here, is what? Avada Chaim is right, a person should say it, and it helps, and it does help. It does help to say it. But what a person, it's easy to talk, and I know I'm not there, but that's the purpose of Mussar, talk about where we should be. You know, not to talk where we are, because otherwise I'll be in big trouble. But a person, we have to work on ourselves that it's not Pashert, it's really not Pashert, and it's all Hashem's plan. And that guy that outbid me, chutzpah, you outbid me, what kind of chutzpah, gneva this, gneva that. I don't have any hard feelings against him, really. Do I think what he did was right? No. But he could have done it to someone else. It also wouldn't be right. Hashem didn't want me to have the house. A guy could have taken away the house from me for the same price. A guy could have taken it from me. The guy could have never put it on the market. It wasn't Basha. It's very easy, but it's pretty easy to say it with full of heart. It's not Basher. But you're angry at the guy and you're upset, so you don't really mean it. A person, it's a gevaldik thing. A person works on himself. It's not Basher. It's easy to say when you're not in a situation. All of Mussar is very good to learn, because it's easy to learn Mussar and say not to get angry and say not to do that, not to do that, when you're not at the point of anger. And it's easy to make fun of someone that's angry when you're not at the point of anger, because the taco looks ridiculous. I love that story. I like that story that Ray Kaler said over. It's a great story, by the way. But I think it's every person. It's not just that guy. It's just funny that a person. The older person that couldn't find his hat. He couldn't find his hat, and finally found his hat underneath of a pile of other people's stuff, and the hat was bent out of shape. It was under everyone's coats, and the guy got so angry. How could they do this? Crushed them. They ruined my hat. And he went ahead and folded up his hat. His hat wasn't so bad; it was just bent. He crushed it into a ball and threw it against the wall. All of us do that. It sounds so funny. An older person, Shugana, the hat was just a little bit bent, and he killed his hat. We all do that. Makes no sense, does it? Doesn't make sense for a person to destroy his own hat? We all do this. Mussar is very good, because Mussar is very easy. When you're not at the point, it's good to talk about it, because then what happens is when you do get angry, then you remember, I'm the foolish guy now. I'm that guy that threw down the hat. I'm the meshugim now. Because it's always good. Now, But we have to talk about it now, and when it's not nagiah, it's easier. It's not basher. It means it's really not basher. I'll tell you what happened. Happened with me. I was looking for houses, and a certain house I looked at was really great. It was a great house. It was a really great house. It was a very good deal, very good place, and good house. Not typical. And sure enough, someone else had heard about it. So, you know, no, they didn't. It was complicated, but they didn't do anything wrong. I'm saying, but they heard about it, and I actually misunderstood the situation. But I pulled out my I dropped out. And I couldn't imagine myself it was possible that I get a better house than that. The house was so good, location in the house was so good. How would I get better? I mean, I see the houses, I look down the street every day, I'm looking, how many houses are there that are good condition? Like, you know, whatever. True or not true, but that's the feelings a person always has when he's nervous about something. You know? But, you know, it was, you know, I tried to have betachon Hashem, tried. But one thing I said, that I had the rule, if you do what's right, you don't lose out. If you do what's right, you don't lose out. If I'm doing the right thing, if I'm doing what's aralach, if I feel it's not right to get involved in something else that someone else wants, then if you do what's right, Hashem takes care of you. You don't lose out when you do what's right. You don't lose out. It's all about share. You don't lose out. I tried to have the talking. I told Hashi at some point. I said, I'll get a nicer house. I don't know if I believed it 100%, but I had my days. I had my weak days, my strong days. I struggled. I tried to have the talking. And Baruch Hashem, things worked out. If I had a choice, I'd pick the house I have now. But because Hashem knows, you have to trust Him. It's not by share. Really, it's not. Really, it wasn't supposed to be your house. That it would have been. You have to try to think to yourself when it happens. Like, let's say the guy never put it on the market. So now, pretend it wasn't put on the market. Pretend. You know, you don't. It's not basher. It's not good for. Basher means it's not good for you. Guy goes out with a girl. Guy goes out with a girl, and she turns him down. He really likes her. She turns him down. Not basher doesn't mean, by the way, just, well, God did it to me. Not basher. God did it to me, whatever, you know what I mean? Hashem doesn't want me to have this new car. Hashem doesn't want me to have the new car. It's not basher. No! Not basher means, this is not good for you. This shidduch is not good for you. You can't understand this, but the girl is such a good girl, and everything this, and everything that, so perfect. It's not good for you. Do you want me to give you reasons right now why it could not be good for you? I can give you a million of one. Should we start? How do you know you're gonna work as a good marriage? Maybe she's a great girl, maybe she won't like you and she'll have problems with you. Maybe the things you don't know about her, which are very possible, the things you don't know about her. Maybe she's not supposed to have children from you, maybe you two can't have kids. Maybe if she has children from you, the kids won't be as good as you had kids from someone else. Maybe as a husband and wife, you won't be as good at raising kids together as a pair. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe this woman, Rachman Litzlan, is not supposed to live as long as Hashem, the wife Hashem wants to give you. Maybe you won't shag and avoid this Hashem if you have this wife. Maybe you won't be able to work on your midas if you have this wife. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe that, maybe that. There are a million reasons. Everything is like that. Not just a shidduch, which is obvious to any half-intelligent person. But everything, even a house, and even a car, and even this, and even parnas, everything. Everything is not kosher. It could matter be, you know, anything. But we have to believe that it's not basher means it's not, that it wasn't meant for us. It wasn't meant for me. The fact that someone else took it doesn't mean that it was meant for me and someone else stole it from me. No one stole anything from me. No one could steal from you. No one could steal anything from you. No one could steal it. No one could steal a dime from you. No one could steal away your job. Someone tells you that. No one's stealing anything from you. Hashem is in charge. No one's doing anything to you. Hashem is watches us. No one does anything to us. If a boss fires you, not the boss. A person could, or someone tells something bad to you about the boss. Say, Hashem fired me. Hashem wanted me to lose this job. Not that guy's a rasha, and that guy's gonna go to again. Yeah, maybe. That's not your point issue. It's not for sure. You would have got fired a different way. You would have lost your job another way. Maybe there's a better job. Now, you know. That's the chinuch says. The love of saying, of taking revenge, the love of taking revenge is because a person has to realize that everything, that any pain a person gets, just like we had in the last paragraph, that any good that happens to a person is from Hashem, so to the opposite. Any pain the person has is from Hashem. But Hashem has so much rachmanas on a person, how could Hashem give a person pain? Teretz is whatever reason the pain is good for the person. Whether it's a kapara, whether, you know, we were speaking recently to someone about the Twin Towers. You know, imagine a person that was running late. There's one story I forgot to say over, that someone's wife got locked out of the house and he had to come back to come back on his way to the Twin Towers. He had to come back to bring the keys. Imagine on his way back how he was, you know, might have been saying about his wife or complaining and this. Imagine complaining to God, God, you're not fair to me. I travel all the way to work and now I have to travel all the way back. It's not fair. You always make it so difficult for me. My life is so there. I can't deal with it. Yeah. You know, Hashem sometimes gives us pain and it's very good for us. Maybe sometimes we find out later and we feel stupid, and sometimes we don't find out later. So you can't take revenge, because who are you taking revenge against? You're taking revenge against God. Someone punched you in the face, Hashem wanted you to get punched, you punch him back. By punching him back, you're saying that he punched me, not Hashem. This guy did it. It's his fault. No, it's not. Hashem wanted you to have the pain. By punishing him back, it's showing you don't believe it's from Hashem. A person would have a very happy life if he would believe this. If he would know this. Because a person walks around, most of a person's problems in life are walking around with complaints against other people. Why did that guy do this to me? And why did my parents do this to me? And why this? And why that? And why that? A person says, believes it's all Hashem, and he doesn't have any problems because he's in good hands. If Hashem decrees you should have a little money, a person can't give you more. Sometimes a person invests and he loses money. You know, Hashem doesn't give you more than you're supposed to have. Or Hashem doesn't take away less than you're supposed to have. And what Hashem decrees for someone else, no one can come first. If Hashem decreed that you should have this house, if Hashem decreed you should have this job, no one can come first and chop it before you. And you don't have to be worried about it, and you don't have to try to, you know, make sure the guy, you know, you don't have to worry about it. And Hashem will not delay. La'acher over here doesn't mean another person. La'acher means to delay. When Hashem decrees the delay, you can't make earlier. And when Hashem decrees delay la'acher, you can't delay that which Hashem wants earlier. But first, Hashem wants a person to get married a certain time, we'll get married a certain time. There's a story with a person that under the chuppah, he dropped a ring or something, he couldn't find it, it took a few minutes, and someone said to the rav there, I don't know who's the story with, he said, you know, this doesn't look good. Is this a simon klala that I'm having trouble, you know, that they took extra time to find the ring? He said, no, just means it wasn't about sure to get married till now. Everything. It's amazing how Hashem pays attention to all the little things, our small little things, you know, even our traffic jams and even our getting lost. It's all gzeres el yoin uver tzayna. Everything's with gzeres of Hashem and with His rod. All right, stop.